I'm so happy it hurts. I'm so happy it hurts. I'm so glad it's outrageous.
Let's start with your latest album, So Happy It Hurts. It came out back in March, and you're in the midst of a Canadian leg of a lengthy tour, which includes a date at the Saddle Dome this Wednesday. Now, this album was very much written during the pandemic. How was that experience of being kind of isolated for the whole writing and recording process?
Yeah, no, it was really great. Mm-hmm. And being that I had so much time on my hands, mm-hmm. it was exciting to just sort of go through all my notes and empty all my pockets out of, you know, restaurant slips and stuff that I'd written ideas down and just see what I had and mm-hmm. compile it. And within a few short weeks, I was well on the way to making a record. So, and that's what's come out now. It's called So Happy It Hurts.
Now, I understand, I heard that you had played a lot of the instruments for the album as well when you recorded.
That's right. Yeah, that was super cool. And what was fun was the best part of it was the drumming. Sometimes it was just quite easy, and other times it was much more difficult. And all I can tell you is that I have a whole new respect for drummers that I didn't have before, because it, the syncopation, you've got to work at it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just happen. And we were kind of channeling, great rock drummers when we were putting the record together. So I would always say, you know, could this be a bit better? Could this be a bit faster? Could, you know, would so-and-so play this like that? Because I wanted to make sure it was as good as it could possibly be. So there was a lot of re-recording.
Now, you have also recently put out a 2-CD deluxe edition of So Happy It Hurts, which includes 12 re-recorded classics. And what made you decide to go back and redo these iconic songs?
Well, I was kind of doing a Taylor Swift, to be honest. And that is just being able to own your own masters. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've done. And that was another great journey, because mm-hmm. basically this year, I've put out 4 albums.
Yeah.
I've put out So Happy It Hurts. I've put out Classic 1 and Classic 2. Yeah. And I've also done my own versions of the music from Pretty Woman, the musical.
Right.
So it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. So yeah, beginning to get back to your questions, it's all about, you know, just having something for the future that's your own. Because yeah. things are changing so much with the digital age. It's good for artists to be in control of their songs.
I read somewhere that you had the unique experience of homeschooling your kids over the pandemic. Now, as a fellow parent who also had to try to recall how to do math questions from over 40 years ago, what was that like for you?
Well, I don't recommend it. I've got to say, I left it really to my other half to do most of it.
Yeah.
But whenever I got involved, it was okay. I mean, it's just a different dynamic when you've got to do it yourself. And I think homeschooling could be better if you have more people involved, sure. if there were more kids. Mm-hmm. But when it's just your own kids, it's kind of a different thing. I mean, it didn't have any real problems. It was just a lot of work. It's just, you know.
Now, you've had some relationships in your life that have been a big part of your success. I mean, none more important than Jim Vallance, who you've known since, I think, around 1978. This might be a bit of a loaded question, but what is your relationship in history with Jim meant to you?
Well, I mean, it was and still is a very, very close and amazing creative relationship. Mm-hmm. And we've had moments where we didn't work together. And I've got to give credit to the other great teams that I've worked with, like Mutt Lang, who was incredibly amazing to work with and still is too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, when I started out, I was just putting fragments of ideas together. What Jim was really good at doing was sort of being able to structure and show me how to put things together. Mm-hmm. So in essence, he was sort of my teacher.
I interviewed Al Harlow of Prism a while back, and he seemed incredibly proud of the fact that you contributed to the songwriting on their 1979 album Armageddon. Now, you were what, maybe 19, 20, somewhere in there? So you were right on the cusp of kind of breaking out then. I mean, that must have been a really amazing experience, because Prism, they were at the top of their game right then, weren't they?
Yeah, it was really a big help to have songs getting placed with other artists, because when it came time to be able to talk to record companies about my own thing, they, you know, I could say, well, I've done this and this. And not that it helped vastly, but it was just another thing that helped open the door.
Somebody like you, is who has had such a long and successful career. I mean, we could probably talk for hours about your experiences. And I know for me as an 80s kid, I could probably talk about your duet with Tina Turner, Tears Are Not Enough, and on and on and on. But if you could, just give me one or two moments that really stand out for you. I mean, what moments of your career make you smile at night when you go to bed?
When I think back, the first thing that came to mind was we've been out on tour with Tina in Europe in 1985. And we came back to America to do some shows, and they were all sold out. And I just remember walking over to Keith Scott on stage one night and just saying, you know, what are we doing different? Because all that happened was a couple songs started to get played. And that's all it took for us to light a fire. And so here we are, still doing it and still lighting fires. And it all came down to the music, really. And at that time, it was our time. So to think about other things that have happened, I mean, there's so many different things that have happened over the years. It would be hard to choose things, but I just, you know, I'm grateful for that moment when we could get out of the club scene and actually do proper shows, you know?
What aspect of the job, and I don't like to call it a job, but is it the writing, the touring, performing, you know, what part of it keeps you going? What fills your bucket?
Well, kind of all of it, to be fair. I mean, there's nothing better than writing a song that you think has got a chance. And then there's nothing more gratifying than playing that song live and realizing that it was, your instincts were right, and that people like it. And I think that's the best thing. So one sort of fuels the other.
Now, your fan base is as strong as ever. Your albums continue to do amazing. What would you say are the keys to your longevity or enduring appeal, if you want to call it that?
I have no idea, but I've got to say that it's got to be songs. Yeah. I said earlier, there's nothing else.
You've always seemed to be the kind of person who likes to stay busy and have your hands in a lot of different things. Your photography, for one, has become a really successful part of your life. What is it about photography that draws you in? Is it a distraction, a creative outlet, or what?
Yeah, and for example, this year, I think I've made 10 videos and just done it with a very small team that I've put together, and then just try and visualize it as a day goes. And we were on tour up in Scotland recently, and we were in this amazing location. It was a castle up on a hill, and we got permission to shoot in the horse stable area, and we shot 6 videos in a day there. It was really fun. So I guess the answer to the question is it's part and parcel of being what I do anyways. Yeah, I enjoy the sort of creative aspect of creating whatever it may be, whether it's the album cover or the videos, and sort of work with the music, because a lot of times I've done records and then just sort of gone off to work with somebody who's basically not really connected to the music. And so for me, it's nice to be able to, whatever the image is that's represented on the cover, or however the videos are represented, it's definitely something that I think connects with the songs.
Now, finally, and this is, it's going to be weird to ask you this question after you told me about the 4 albums, but what does the future hold for you? Any new music projects, or you just keep on touring, or all of the above?
Kind of all of the above. And then I did something really different recently. I created a line of winter jackets.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, it's just, I mean, I'm looking outside right now. I'm up in Edmonton right now, and I'm looking at the snow coming down, and I'm thinking, I'm sure glad I got this jacket because it's super warm. And I did it in conjunction with a Canadian company called Wuxley.
Okay.
And it's animal free, and it's super warm. Yep. And yeah, so just in time for winter.
Have you got a website or anything that people can go to?
It's called The Bad Collection, and it's at Wuxley.com. Okay. That's spelled W UXLY.com.
Perfect. Okay, Brian, now I just want to take a second to say thank you. I mean, thank you for not only taking the time to do this interview, but I want to thank you for the music. You know, it's been a huge part of my life, which I know you probably hear all the time, but this has been an amazing privilege to talk with you, and it's something I won't soon forget, so thank you.
Todd, that's really kind. Listen, likewise, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time out.